It's been almost a year since the Liberal leadership spill, which not only brought Scott Morrison to power, but also prompted allegations from a number of female Liberal MPs about bullying and harassment. And it sparked calls for the Liberal Party to target the lack of women in its ranks. That issue is now back centre stage, with one of the party's most respected female elders calling for quotas to try and haul the Liberals out of the 80s. Peter Van Onselen is the political editor with the 10 Network. Hello, Peter.
Good morning, Fran. Great to be with you.
Catherine Greiner says the Liberal Party has not kept pace with modern society. She says it's less female-friendly than it was in the 80s even. Now, this morning, or last night, we have these allegations from two Liberal staffers of sexual assault. Catherine Greiner says a radical rethink is needed, and she's arguing quotas are necessary now. We're going to speak with her after eight. But, Peter, what happened to that investigation that Scott Morrison ordered into women in the party more broadly?
Well, it looks like it's in the same sort of category as the Stone investigation into what happened with that leaked memo that Peter Costello wanted, you know, decades ago now. There hasn't been any sight of it, has there? It's one of those things where, obviously, in the heat of the moment when these things break, including news today that has broken on the sort of front of problems with the Liberals and women, you see them immediately go into the space of saying, we're going to do a review or we're going to look into these things. Sometimes they then fade from view. The issue of quotas, though, is an interesting one. I don't see Scott Morrison shifting on this, even though people very close to him suggested that he actually had a sympathy for quotas before the election. A lot of his colleagues do not. Catherine Greiner coming out is a significant move, but you really need someone like a Gladys Berejiklian to come out. You need someone of that level of authority, I think, before some of the men in the Liberal Party are going to sit up and listen. And of course, they think, because they won the election despite the gender issues at the federal level, that they don't necessarily have the problem that others identify.
Okay. Meanwhile, there's tension in federal Labor ranks. Anthony Albanese told caucus yesterday to get used to voting for legislation they don't entirely agree with. He likened this parliament to 2004 parliament, where John Howard had an absolute majority in both houses. He says the Senate effectively has a conservative majority. Not all are happy with that, though. Former frontbencher Kim Carr is urging Labor not to run up the white flag by dumping the policies it took to the election, such as negative gearing and franking credit reforms.
Well, look, the fact that Kim Carr argues for anything is almost of itself a reason that Anthony Albanese might go in another direction. Those two do not get on. But it's a really interesting debate, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you want parties to stand for something. And if you take it to the election, hopefully you therefore stand for it. And just because you didn't win the election, that shouldn't necessarily mean you throw it out entirely. Maybe you need to argue the case better. Having said that, though, if you don't throw it out, you look like you're not listening to the will of the people. So there's a real debate around policy.
Well, it's also throwing out babies with bathwaters. If you want, like in the tax debate, half of that tax debt to go through, and if you vote against the whole thing, none of it goes through. I mean, these are difficult.
Well, there's politics in the mix quite apart from the policy. This sounds like I'm sitting on the fence, but I think they need to clearly do a better job of selling the policies if they want to keep some of it, but perhaps they need to acknowledge that they can't keep all of it and get a better design, for example, if they want to keep policies in those areas.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Crown Casino scandal keeps growing. Allegations of links to Chinese crime gangs, unnamed politicians accused of using their influence to try and fast-track the visa and custom procedures for Chinese high rollers, police and customs too cozy with Crown. The government's referred the matter now to the Australian Commission for Law Enforcement Integrity, but both major parties voted against a parliamentary inquiry. Why was that? Some would say they're, a bit worried about what it might unearth.
Yeah, look, on the one hand, there is some merit in what Christian Porter, the Attorney General, said to Parliament about this, that a parliamentary inquiry procedural isn't necessarily the best way to go. Having said that, though, it certainly is more transparent than the path that they're going down, and it certainly would give more comfort to people that look at these startling allegations and think, wow, how did we get to this point in our democratic polity? So I think the Greens, who are the ones with the crossbench arguing for the parliamentary inquiry, that's the best way to clean the air. But let's face it, you know, unless the media pressure persists, it's not going to happen because this is a bipartisan agreement not to go down that path.
Yes, and I suppose it depends how long this this Commission for Law Enforcement Integrity inquiry takes. If that's quite sharp, then there might space in for another call for a parliamentary inquiry.
And depending on what it uncovers, of course, because if it uncovers things that raise more questions than answers, well, then you can bet that the calls for the parliamentary inquiry will only grow and perhaps even start to grow within the ranks of the major parties, not just in the crossbench.
PVO, thanks very much.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen is Professor of Politics at the Griffith University and Uni of WA.